Today is the 3rd of July, 2018 Tuesday class. So we have just finished our puja offering. Then we will now prepare ourselves to develop the puja chanting. Let us recall to mind our sadha, which is the faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then the virya, spiritual zeal, followed by sati. Then we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sangham Namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we are chandapadipa puja offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tamadang sina Diloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Gandha sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajanamutamang vanna gandha gunopetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi budang kasumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power. Sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripa Jam. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. We can now, you can now be seated. We are off the light so that you can have your meditation. just relax body and mind. Yeah? Make sure you have a stable posture. Mm. For those who know how to meditate, you can straight away. Yeah? Go ahead. Then for the new people, if you still need instruction, I will give you some simple instruction. Then later on, if you are totally new, we will pass you some books on meditation. These are transcript books. They are transcripted from my sharing most of the typical Thursday class sharing where we did the meditation. So you read through, you will understand, because in this sharing I explain clearly the significance and meaning of all those essential Dhamma and how with those understanding you know how to train your mind, develop the practice and the cultivation so that you understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. So now what I will teach you is some simple basic mind sweeping method. Where most people, they have mental hindrance that hinders their mind from becoming peaceful or from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness or mindfulness. So in order to meditate before the spiritual faculties are developed, you need to develop the mind sweeping method followed by loving kindness, metta. Mind sweeping method is very simple. You just relax body and mind, silent everything. Then don't try to do anything, just silent, relax, maintain that awareness within. Then make sure you have a stable posture, backbone straight, close your eye. Then feel with your mind, your forehead, just feel, don't think, feel. Then you can detect any tightness, any stress within. You just relax, feel it soothingly, relax. Whatever tension also, just relax it. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle, do the same. Any tension, any tightness or any stress within, just relax. Feel the entire eye muscle soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle, do the same. Make sure each and every strand of your facial muscle is in the state of relax. Just feel, then relax. No more thinking. So you do this mind sweeping method long enough, your mind will quiet down. That is the beginning of meditation. You will experience a type of inner peace, inner well-being. Then you can combine it with loving kindness or metta to arise the inner well-being, the good mind, where there is love and there is metta. Metta is a Pali word for loving kindness. So you can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. When you recite, you have to feel it with your feeling. May I, this body and mind, you feel your body and mind, be well and happy. You feel your body and mind having this well-being and happiness. Then may it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May the body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Before you radiate this metta, you can also visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate a radiant smile, you are relaxed. Your facial muscle will relax. That's why this will help you to develop the ability to relax body and mind completely, soothingly relaxed. Then after that, the metta will bring about inner well-being. So inner peace leading to inner well-being, very useful. Then you continue to radiate this metta or love to your loved ones. May all my loved ones to be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them, then radiate from your heart this love and metta energy to them. Then may my loved ones to be free from all suffering, all physical and mental suffering. Feel it physically and mentally, no more suffering. There is only peace, there is only love. May its mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then now we come back to our forming mind. Then we radiate to all beings within this vicinity of SS2. Known and unknown, seen and unseen. To all Kayanamita, fellow meditator, cultivator, and also all beings within the whole of Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our Mother Earth, and all beings throughout our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and our entire universe. May all beings be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle, feel, relax. Then you move it down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Then come back to shoulder. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or your chest area. You just feel like you feel your forehead, you feel your abdomen, your chest. You can detect any vibration or heartbeat. You just silence your mind and stay there. But if you are new, you are not sensitive, your mindfulness is not sensitive, then you just silence your mind and just relax every part within your heart area, like you relax your forehead. You just feel if there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax, relax and relax into it and feel your entire heart area soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down to your stomach, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Then you sweep it down to your leg, feel, relax. Then your buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method from the buttock, feel, relax. Then shift your attention to your leg, feel, relax. Then attention, sweep it up to the abdomen, feel, relax. Then sweep it up to your stomach, feel, relax. Then from your stomach, you go back to your chest area, feel, relax. Yeah. Then your neck, shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle, do the same, feel, relax them all, feel it soothingly, relax. Then your eye muscle, feel, relax them all. Then your forehead muscle, feel, relax them all. By now you should be more calm, more peaceful, and more quiet because you have deconditioned the healer's thinking. You just feel and relax. Yeah. Now you have to stabilize this calm mind or quiet mind. So what you can do is you develop mindfulness of your in and out breath. The Buddha called it anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath. So now you develop your attention and put it in front of your nostril to detect your breathing. Then as you're breathing, breathe naturally. You just silence your mind and feel the breathing. The moment your mind can detect the breathing, then like the instruction from the Buddha is it, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Means your breath and your breathing move as one without thought. You are mindful of your in and out breath. Initially, if you are still new, you may not be skillful. This mindfulness, split second is gone, split second is gone. Like, it wanders off very fast. So you cannot be with the moment, with your breath, developing the training of the mind to be mindful via anapanasati. So what you can do is, every time the mind wanders off, be patient, don't get angry, don't react with unhappiness or what. Just understand that the untrained mind will be heedless. It will wander off. It will think a lot. So let it be. Accept it. Then every time it wanders off, remind yourself, I need to train my mind to be mindful. So come back to the breathing again. Detect it. Silence your mind. Aware. And let the awareness and the mind move as one. The breath move as one. So if you are patient, not long, your anapanasati will develop. You will be able to be mindful of your in and out breath without thought. Then when you can do that, when your anapanasati stabilizes, you feel very calm, you feel very good, you will experience a type of mind which they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness that arises when your mind is just aware, mindful, without thought. So the initial great benefit of anapanasati is peacefulness of mind, inner peace, leading to piti, which is the inner well-being, the meditative calmness or peacefulness. So sometimes they call it spiritual rapture. The mind like rapture into some very nice feeling. So the spiritual calmness or peacefulness or rapture, when they arise, you just develop the awareness of it, silence everything, and continue to relax into it. And as you relax, this piti will become more refined, it will transform, and you will be able to feel another type of calmness which is more intense. You may experience sukha. Sukha is blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes very blissful. Then after that, you continue to relax and silent. The mind will become very quiet, very peaceful, very still. It will return to its natural state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness before the heedless thinking, before the stirring of the mind. So this is what you have to train, develop that tranquility of mind or stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is the meditative mind. Okay, I'll let you do the training, the meditation. Then afterwards, I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. The other thing is, for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away relax and silence your mind. You need to stabilize your anapanasati, to stabilize your loving kind, your mindfulness. You can continue to do. You continue to allow the metta or anapanasati to develop until you become very quiet and very still, until you hit the silent mind. When the mind is in the state of tranquility or stillness, that is the positive state. Stabilize that, and your mind will become very quiet. Then your mind will enter sati, become very sensitive. Then your mindfulness will develop. You will be very sensitive. Whatever movement will be like magnified and all those things. So all these are possible. Then you just use this meditative mind to understand things. Just silent and observe. The pure observation will lead to the direct seeing, the awakening, the understanding. Okay, I will leave it to you to meditate. Then I will set the alarm. can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness for as long as you can. Then we can continue with our chanting on page 6. Turn to page 6. We will chant the Deva Ratna. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nirvana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakawalisu Atragachantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidam chatari purisa yugani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaniyo anutarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pajayami. Dhammang pajayami. Sanghang pajayami. Okay, you can visit that. Then we can continue with our sharing on the Buddha and his teaching. We are at page 340, chapter 18, on the topic karma. But before we do that, you have a sheet of paper in front of you. There is a Krishnamurti code. Anybody don't have? Don't have, you can collect from me. Okay. I will go through this first, so that you can develop some form of understanding. So this J. Krishnamurti code is very beautiful, very profound, and very meaningful. You can understand it's exactly like what the Buddha said, except he used different words. The title is Extraordinary Seeing. He called it an extraordinary seeing. Means this way of seeing with the nature, with the silent mind, with the true mind, is so different. That's why he called it extraordinary seeing. The Buddha called it the direct seeing, knowledge and vision of the reality, jnana dasana. I will read to you their quote so that you can develop the understanding. Extraordinary seeing, according to J. Krishnamurti. So we are asking, as at the beginning, can the mind come to that type of extraordinary seeing? Not from the peripheral, not from outside, not from the boundary, but come upon it without any seeking. This is most important. Without any seeking means there is no desire to have that extraordinary seeing. You don't seek to become enlightened. You don't seek to develop the meditation well. There is no seeking at all. Means no desire for any result. It's just silent away. Then Krishnamurti continue to explain. And to come upon it without seeking is the only way to find this extraordinary seeing or direct seeing or seeing things as they are, leading to the awakening and enlightenment. So he called it the only way. Means you have to come upon it without seeking, without any expectation or desire or craving. That's why meditation has to be developed with understanding. I have always been telling you, don't try to know, don't try to expect anything. Just understand it and do. Then when the condition is there, when you have developed the stability of mindfulness, when your silent mind is very stable, when you have enough understanding developed through the direct seeing, the awakening, then it will understand. Then this will happen. Then the quote continues to say, because in coming upon it unknowingly, see, without expectation, without even the meditator or cultivator knowing it, there is no effort, no seeking, no experience. You have to check. No effort means there is no mind doing, no thought doing. There is no somebody who wants to do meditation. Means there is no meditator. There is no effort involved, no craving, no desire to meditate. Then no seeking means you don't go and look for the enlightenment. You don't go and look for truth. you don't seek anything. Then the other one is no experience. No experience means no thought process, no arising of consciousness. To experience something, you have to be conscious. Yeah, otherwise you cannot experience. You can only experience with the mind, the thinking mind. But when you have the direct seeing, the extraordinary seeing, there is no words, there is nothing. So this one is quite similar to the characteristics of Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. Except the Buddha said, this Dhamma is akaliko, ehipasiko, opanayiko. Then it is also sanditiko, means can be realized in the here and the now before you die. There is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why beyond thought, beyond mind means there is no mind involved. That's why there is no effort, no mind to seek, no mind to experience. And there is only the total denial of all the normal practices. This one is most important. No mind to practice thought-based meditation. All those practices will never bring about enlightenment. You cannot practice to develop wisdom. You cannot practice to awaken. Yeah, it's not a practice. It's a direct seeing. It's an insight. It's an awakening. You realize it. It's not practice. Practice is mechanical. To develop skill, you practice. But to understand things, you don't practice. You maintain awareness, alertness, attentiveness to understand what is going on. And there is the total denial of all the normal practices. To come into that center, to that flowering. So the mind is highly sharpened, highly awake. So this is what ever mindful is all about. And it's no longer dependent upon any experience to keep it awake. Means the mind on its own is just aware, not holding on to anything, no concentration, no absorption, no focusing, nothing. Doesn't have any idea behind. It's not acting according to memory, conditioning and all those things. It's a free mind, completely free, completely still, silent and just aware. So this part is very important. The mind is highly sharpened, highly awake, and is no longer dependent on any experience to keep itself awake. Means the awareness is a natural state, a free mind. When one asks oneself, one may ask verbally. For most people, naturally, it must be verbal. And one has to realize that the word is not the thing. Like the word tree is not the tree. It's not the fact or the actual fact. The actual fact is when one touches it, not through the words, but when one actually comes into contact with it, then it is an actuality, which means the word has lost its power to mesmerize people. Take for example the word God. This word God is so loaded and it has mesmerized people so much that they will accept or deny and function like a squirrel in a cage. That is what authority is all about, like you are being controlled. So the word and the symbol must be set aside. So this is Krishnamurti's way of describing the direct seeing, or he called it the extraordinary seeing, that can lead to the awakening, the enlightenment. So this is something that you need to develop the understanding. Otherwise, if you don't have this understanding, then you seek it through your thought. You will be doing thought-based meditation. And when you use your thought to meditate, to cultivate, to do things, you arise the meditator, which is the thought. Then the series of instruction that you have, or the method and the technique, or whatever instruction they give you in the name of meditation, the thought will use it, pick it up and do. And who is doing the meditation? The thought. The thought is the meditator. The thought is the one that verbalizes. The thought is the one that wants to concentrate, focus, do the noting and all those things. So when you do that, this thought is seeking enlightenment, want to be enlightened, is constantly fighting, constantly interpreting, verbalizing, doing a lot of verbalization, activity. And with this, you can't realize the truth. Where the truth is beyond thought, beyond time, beyond mind. So you need to seize the mind. That's why a lot of people don't have this understanding. They meditate wrongly. And by doing so, they can never awaken. They are wasting their time. Yeah. So this part is very useful. Yeah. So I find this quote very, very beautiful. Then the other one, which is the follow-up on this, is the Jai Krishnamurti quote that I just sent out today. Yeah. If you have the what they call Maikayanamita, if you are registered with the Maikayanamita, then you will be able to see it. Otherwise, you go to the website. I have asked Brother Chin Hao to put it into a website. Maybe you create a word file, Chin Hao. You create a word file, then you send it out. Then also put it in the what they call our website. So I try to get it for you. The one that is sent. I think most of you are registered in it. Okay, I have got it. Okay, the active still mind. I myself go through it here. You have it, you can open it up. It's in the email. You can save it so fast. Now you send. Okay, then we can share it. The one that I edit on. In the email. The active still mind. Okay, you all can open it up. You have. See, this one is a follow-up, which is very good. The Jai Krishnamurti online daily quote, the active still mind. You remember I used to tell you, in the midst of activity, there can be what? Silent. In the midst of activity, there can be stillness inside. And in the midst of sound and vibration, there can be silence. So this is the meaning. The active and yet still mind. So this is what the true mind is all about. This is what the silent mind is all about. This is the mind that can develop the wisdom, that can meditate. But it's not a being, it's not a thought that is meditating. It's just an awareness that is highly alert, awake, fully aware, ever mindful. That's why it's sensitive. It can see things clearly. It can understand things clearly. It doesn't move. It's just completely silent, aware. And through the awareness, the form and mind can understand what is happening. It can awaken. It can insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering and non-self or empty nature of existence. Now I read the quote to you. Jai Krishnamurti, Delhi quote. The active still mind. The mind that is really still is astonishingly active, alive, and potent. Potent because it can awaken. It can understand. That's why it's very potent. Not towards anything in particular. It is only such a mind which is verbally free, free from experience, from knowledge. Such a mind can perceive what is the truth, means can see things as they are. Such a mind has direct perception which is beyond thought, beyond time. That's why this mind is the true mind, which is very different. The mind can only be silent when it has understood the process of time. Time here means psychological time, mental time. When your mind starts to think, starts to verbalize, proliferate, time arises. Mental time, psychological time. When you develop emotion, fear, attachment, craving, thinking. All this is time-related, psychological time. The movement of thought. Then he said, the mind can only be silent when it has understood the process of time, which I have explained. Means you have understood your mundane mind, the movement. And that requires watchfulness. So here, watchfulness to him is awareness, understand? That's why he is fully aware. That's why he calls it watchfulness. Yeah. I used to translate to Hokkien, Chu Yi Sim, Chu Yi, Chu Yi, watchful, understand? Means aware, just aware. So this is the quality of mind, like the Buddha say, that can understand things. If you don't have watchfulness, you cannot understand the process of time, psychological time, your mental activity, how it conditions you into negativity, into fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. Then when you recall the scars of memory, how fear arises, how you react to sense experience, how the memory, the conditioning, condition you into this type of reaction, memory. Movement. That's why thought is respond to memory. Yeah. Then when you acting according to memory is not acting at all. Well, memory is the totality of your experiences, good and bad. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, your whatever emotion. Yeah. Good and bad, they are all there. So when you act according to this, means you are acting according to your greed, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your delusion, your conditioning, your belief system. And this is not acting at all. Where you are not acting according to wisdom. You don't have wisdom. You don't understand what is going on. You just react because of your memory, which is mostly wrong view, wrong thought. So this part is very important. Then Krishnamurti continued. He said, the mind can only be silent when it has understood the process of time, and that requires watchfulness or mindfulness and awareness. Does it not? Must not such a mind be free, not from anything, but be free, completely free. Means it's a free mind. So this type of freedom is different. You only know freedom from something. Most human beings are talking about freedom is freedom from the control of people, society. He's not talking about that type of freedom. That type of freedom is different, is mundane. This type of freedom is the mind itself is free, not subject to anything. That is the free mind I've been talking about or telling you all. So a mind that is free from something is not free. Such freedom, the freedom from something, is only a reaction. It's not a freedom. It's like people make life difficult for you. You want to be free from that tyrant government and all those things. So it's a reaction to what happened. But a mind that is seeking freedom is never free. That's why you cannot seek freedom. You cannot tell yourself, I want to be free. Who is saying that? The thought. And the thought that is saying that cannot be free, because this thought is egoic. You cannot find freedom. You cannot seek freedom. Freedom has to be understood and realized by the true mind. So this part is very important. Yeah? But the mind is free when it understands the fact, means see things as they are, when it has realized itself, yeah, when it has understood the fact as it is, see, like seeing things as they are, without translation, without condemning, without judging, without interpretation, and being free. Such a mind is an innocent mind, though it has lived 100 days, 100 years, having all the experience, yet it is free. It is innocent because it is free. Not from anything, but in itself. That's why I say it's free, completely free in itself. It is only such a mind that can perceive that which is true, which is beyond thought, beyond time. So this is a very good way of describing that true mind, that silent mind. That's why when you are in the midst of activity, means life, when you are active, yet inside that mind is still, no movement at all. But that free mind don't have psychological thinking, don't have thought, don't have emotion, don't have anything. It's just still, silent. It's just like when I share, I may have this pure seeing, pure perception. I may still speak and like active. You understand? But inside my nature, no movement at all. It's still. No word, nothing. And that stillness is within that nature. That's why from there, the understanding straight from the heart, it come out. It don't go to memory. If I use memory, I cannot teach. It become knowledge. Then whatever you ask me is a rigid knowledge to reply to what you have said. No. Because when there is this understanding, wisdom from the nature, this nature will understand the intricacy of that question, that situation. Where everyone is different. Every condition is different. Every era and situation is completely different. So you cannot use the same one-size-fits-all type of answer. You cannot say, hey, last time Brother Teo said you got this problem, you have to solve it like that. No. Because everyone is different. The problem can appear to be the same, sound the same. But the understanding to approach that problem, to allow that form in mind to understand, need wisdom, need understanding. It's not a knowledge, it's not rigid. You cannot apply the same thing. That is the reason why I keep on telling you all, don't quote me. Remember? Never quote me. Because if you quote me without my understanding, you create problem for myself, yourself and myself. And then you go and argue with people. You say, no, brother, you say like that. You don't meditate like that. You meditate like that. You don't use thought-based. You quote my word, no, correct, no. Don't use thought, no. But you don't know what I mean, no. Then you go and argue with people. But if you can have the understanding and share, it's very beautiful. Means you can stand up to whatever people ask you, you can explain to them. Then you can bring about the understanding, because you yourself have the understanding and the awakening. Then, no problem. You can quote even the Buddha or me, because you have the understanding. But if it's only knowledge and you try to quote without understanding, then it becomes dangerous. Because without understanding, this word got no meaning. This word can go and create problem. Yeah. Because that thing is not the word. But in this existential world, conditioned world, we need to communicate through words, through concept, through idea. Otherwise, the living being cannot understand. Okay? So this 2J Krishnamurti quote is very good. Huh? The other one is the short note for 20. I just sent out just now also. Huh? It's in your Maikayamita WhatsApp. Yeah. Before Chin Hao sent out, I have sent out one short note for the Thursday class dated 21st June. It's 4 pages. So you go back and read this one. This one also very good. I don't have time here tonight. If we finish this, I don't think we can continue with our topic on karma. At least now we got slightly less than 1 hour. Now it's 9:35. So that short note, outline short note for Thursday class, you go and read it yourself. Then there's also a link for you all to listen to the MP3, the audio link. So you go and listen if you want to. Then you read it up. Well, this one is very useful. Earlier on, I have the hard copy, but this round, I don't know what happened. Thursday class, a lot came. So they took half. And Sunday class also took half. So I left you only one copy. So there is not enough to circulate. That's why when I saw Chin Hao send the soft copy, I say we will use the soft copy. So, okay, now I'll pass back to PJ. Come, your turn. You can continue from page 340.
Good evening, Bratio, Mrs. Steele, and all Kalyanamitas. Today is a continuation of the subject karma, page 340. Certainly, we are born with hereditary characteristics. At the same time, we possess certain innate abilities that science cannot adequately account for. To our parents, we are indebted for the gross sperm and ovum that form the nucleus of this so-called being. There they remain dormant until this potential germinal compound is fertilized by the karmic energy needed for the production of the fetus. Karma is therefore the indispensable conceptive cause of this being. The accumulated karmic tendencies inherited in the course of previous lives at times play a far greater role than the hereditary parental cells and genes in the formation of both physical and mental characteristics. The Buddha, for instance, inherited, like every other person, the reproductive cells and genes from his parents. But physically, morally, and intellectually, there is none comparable to him in his long line of honorable ancestors. In the Buddha's own words, he belonged not to the royal lineage, but to that of the Aryan Buddhas. He was certainly a superman, an extraordinary creation of his own karma.
Yeah, so after this part, I think we can try to discuss it. Yeah? So as far as science is concerned, they believe in hereditary. Hereditary. I don't know how to pronounce this. So hereditary. Hereditary. Thanks, Joy. Heredity. Anyway, you inherit from your parents. But according to the Buddha, he said, your karma is more powerful. That's why here, the paragraph before the last, he said, the accumulated karmic tendency inherited in the course of previous life, at times, he never say always, at times, play a far greater role than the hereditary parental cells and genes in the formation of both physical and mental characteristics. Means, after you are born, your personality, your character, your understanding, whether you are wise, whether you have all the virtue, and like the Buddha, he has these 32 great hallmark, and I think 80 something minor characteristics. These are born through his perfection, his cultivation. That's why he has this very special hallmark, 32 major characteristics. And the minor hallmark are called minor characteristics. So, it's not necessary that you inherit everything from your parent. No. You may inherit certain aspect of hereditary characteristic, like feature. Sometimes feature also not necessary always the same, I realize, because there are two parents. One is your mother, one is your father. And I realize every children depend on your karma. You take certain aspect of your mother and certain aspect of your father. Like my two children, my son inherit my wife's fair complexion. He has that fair complexion. And I believe his blood also should be similar to my wife. He got no diabetic one. Whereas my side one, there is this hereditary diabetic. And both my parents also got high BP one. But because I know how to meditate in my past, I never have BP problem. But I have this type 2 diabetic, hereditary from them. But the good thing about my family is, my mother's side, the grandmother, my grandmother, my mother's mother, they all very long life. My grandmother lived until 90 plus, almost 100 years old. My mother also about 90, 89 to 90 years old. So their genes are very strong. Although we got type 2 diabetic, our organs are very strong. Oh. But my wife's side different. They don't have diabetic. But their family history, I saw their parents, their grandparents, all on their side, there's more cases of cancer and all those things. Then my daughter inherit my feature physically. My daughter can become dark when she goes and expose herself to sunlight and all those things. The fair complexion of my wife, she don't have. But both the kids have my DNA of intelligence and all those things. They are very, very, in fact, both of them did better than me in terms of academic and all those things. Then, of course, they have their karma, which is very different. Very different. So they come in that way. They inherit things that way. So that's why nature has its own selection. So basically what the Buddha is trying to tell you is, it's more of karma. That's why take care of karma. Even we look at, just how we discussed, without the recording, there is one good news from Joy's side. Now she really recovered. She today wrote me a WhatsApp. He said, today he become very different. He did very well. He said, he can eat well, and he is very, very different now. Means more or less recovered. So waiting to fully recuperate and all those things. So she now can write Dhamma, can joke, can do a lot of things. And that day when I visited her with my wife and Sam and the wife, we had a long chat. Actually, she went through very... it's meant to be a normal, simple procedure and operation, which is quite common among ladies. But because of certain condition, I think she also sent something, I also sent something. But the good news is, because the last 7 years, she came to the class, Thursday class until now. And she has developed a lot of understanding, goodness, wholesomeness, mind state, beautiful. And because of that, she got no stress, no problem. That's why that thing didn't become worse. Then through this simple operation, they discovered the very frightening thing beneath the thing that was operated. Even the CT scan cannot pick it up. But everything was like meant to be because of her good karmic nature. She met actually 4 specialists. And finally, the condition was such, she chose the last one. At first, he already decided on the 3rd one. But something happened and he chose the last one. Then everything like meant to be fall into place. Then the operation ended up with complication, but was very successful. That's why she recovered. And in the words of the husband, Clifford said, this one is like, she was so lucky. You know what is chapto or not? Kyoti one. It's like normal case, very difficult already. But despite all this complication, everything went on well and she recovered. And now is on the road to full recovery. So this is what karma is all about. That's why if you have the understanding, you better take care of karma before it's too late. All this disease thing can be made worse when you don't have good mind state. Especially for people who tend to get angry, unhappy, emotional, fearful, restless, and all those things. Negativity of mind state. When they are life is not going the way they expect, when they cannot get what they want, when things go wrong, when they perceive life with negativity, stress, suffering will arise. If you have stress, you have negativity of mind state, your health deteriorates very fast. This is what happened to many people who has this critical disease of cancer and other things. Most of them have it because of stress. Their mind state has a lot of negativity, especially fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, unhappiness. So all this is negativity or thought process born of the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you hold on to all this, it creates very negative condition for negative karma to come to be. And it will afflict you. It will make you miserable. Then everything will go wrong. Then, like I shared just now, if you have been in the past as doctor, not ethical, you tend to cheat people, deceive people, and you make decision because of that greed for profit, for the money and all those things. So in future when you come, you will also end up visiting those bogus doctor, quack doctor, unprofessional doctor, or sometimes medium and all those things who will deceive you, cheat you, and cause your life to be at risk. So all this is karmic. That's why take care of your life. make sure you have right livelihood. Make sure you cultivate the way for power. Otherwise, you reap what you sow. Yeah. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. That's why in Mahayana is very, very often stressed. 种因结果, 种善因结善果, 种恶因结恶果. And Shenhua always gives this advice. He said, 众生千万要小心, 不要种错因结错果, plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. That is what suffering is all about. So our topic is very relevant. So this is the part I just want to share. Okay, now we pass back to PJ. Maybe she got something to share.
Let me finish this one first. According to the Lakkhana Sutta, the Buddha inherited exceptional physical features such as the 32 major marks as a result of his past meritorious deeds. The ethical reason for acquiring such physical features is clearly explained in the discourse. It is obvious from this unique case that karmic tendencies could not only influence our physical organism, but also nullify the potentiality of parental cells and genes, hence the significance of the Buddha's enigmatic statement, "We are the heirs of our own action." Dealing with this problem of variation, the Atasalani states, "Depending on this difference in karma appears the difference in the birth of beings, high and low, base and exalted, happy and miserable. Depending on the difference in karma appears the difference in the individual's features of beings as beautiful and ugly, high-born and low-born, well-built and deformed. Depending on the difference in karma appears the difference in worldly conditions of beings as gain and loss, fame and disgrace, blame and praise, happiness and misery. Thus, from a Buddhist standpoint, our present mental, moral, intellectual and temperamental differences are preponderantly due to our own actions and tendencies, both past and present. Not everything is due to karma." Oh, that's good. "Although Buddhism attributes this variation to the law of karma as the chief cause amongst a variety, it does not, however, assert that everything is due to karma. The law of karma, important as it is only one of the 24 causal conditions, paccaya, described in the Buddhist philosophy, that is the Abhidhamma. Refuting these erroneous views that whatsoever will or woe or neutral feeling is experienced, it is all due to some previous action. How to say? Pube kata hetu," the Buddha states. "So then, owing to previous actions, men will become murderers, thieves, unchaste, liars, slanderers, blabblers, covetous, malicious, and perverse in view. Thus, for those who fall back on the former deeds as the essential reason, there is neither the desire to do nor effort to do, nor necessity to do this deed or abstain from that deed." This important text contradicts the belief that all physical circumstances and mental attributes spring solely from past karma. If the present life is totally conditioned or wholly controlled by our past actions, then karma is certainly tantamount to fatalism or predetermination or predestination. One will not be free to mold one's present or future. If this is true, free will be an absurdity. Life will be purely mechanical, not much different from a machine. Whether we are created by an almighty God who controls our destiny or foreordains our future, or are produced by an irresistible past karma that totally determines our fate and controls our life's course, independent of any free action on our part, is essentially the same. The only difference that then lies in the two words, God and karma. One could easily be substituted for the other, because the ultimate operation of both forces would be identical. Such a fatalistic doctrine is not the Buddhist law of karma. I think the last time I was arguing is when we always say, oh, everything is by karma, and I just refuse to accept it.
Yeah.
So, it's good to know that it is not.
Let's re-ask that.
PG, you read that there are 24 causes, of which karma is one of them. Yeah. Now, if karma makes up 90% over, let's say, I don't know the magic figure, if it makes up 90% over of the, as a major influencing factor, what happened to the other 23? Why would he even mention that?
Thank you, Audrey. Very good question. That one, let me answer. That one not easy to answer. That one involve Abhidhamma. But what you have to get right is, when I mention 99.999% is due to your karma, we are talking about the Buddha's understanding. The Buddha said, we are all born of our karma. Understand? Heir to our karma. Conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So your life, only that aspect, understand? Nothing to do with the other 23 type of, even the Panchaniyama. Next topic is the five universal order. Law of karma is one of them only. Then there are four other natural orders. Nature's universal order. Yeah? You have the physical law, Utuniyama, Bijaniyama. Then you have law of karma, one of them. Then you have law of mind, Chittaniyama. Then law of truth. So the other 24 pachaya, 23 pachaya, belongs to the other four. Understand not? The other four universal law. But that one got nothing to do with karma, understand not? Because your life, the form of mind that come, that's why I always tell you to have this right view. This form of mind is subject to karma, understand not? That's why this form of mind, law of karma decide, almost 100%. Why? The Buddha say you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. So all of your life, understand not, is governed by karma. And why do I say 99.99999%? Because there are this 0.0000% of enlightened being, understand not? Enlightened being, they can break free from karma. One thing about karma that you have to understand is, it doesn't mean predestined. It doesn't mean you do already, you sure kena like that. Understand not? The Buddha later on will explain in the later part. The seven javanas. Seven, they call determining thought moments. When you arise of a moral, mental intention to act, it can be action, speech, or thought. That constitutes karma because it involves mental intention, chetena. But there are seven thought moments where this mental intention can happen. The Buddha said if it happened on the first thought moment, immediately, that javana, then this karma can only take effect if there is condition in this life. You understand? After this life, it doesn't operate anymore. That is from the first thought moment, javana. When you make the decision, determining. If it falls on the last thought moment, the seventh thought moment, then effective next life, up to next life. If there is no condition next life, it will also cease to be.
you know how to use your wisdom to avoid pains by cultivating noble evil path so that you don't create karmic negativity for conditioned to have this negative karma, then it has no condition to arise, then you escape. But those that you develop through the second and the sixth thought moment, they will follow you for eternity. As long as the form of mind arises, it has the condition to fruit. But there must be condition. That's why for enlightened beings with that type of wisdom, even if it arises, they do not suffer anymore. You understand? Yeah. Wait, I finish this part first. That's why I say the 0.00000% is for the enlightened being. Means karma is not absolutely 100% affecting all living beings, all the form and mind. We are enlightened beings, are the beings that can be free because they have the wisdom connected to their form and mind. Okay? And now I pass back to Chui.
Sorry, of a busybody. You remember, Buddha, when he was about to pass away, he got very, very sick because somebody gave him something. Now, this is supposed to be part of that karma, right? But he's such an enlightened being. You would have thought that he would have transgressed all this and, you know, make it dilute the whole thing until there's nothing. But he still had it.
Very good question. This one, normal people cannot answer you. Because for me, my nature can understand. What you said is true. Because the Buddha is fully enlightened. You understand? Fully enlightened means what? He's perfectly enlightened. Not only enlightened. Complete in enlightenment. Means he's the most virtuous and the most wise. The wisest living being ever to be born at that time. So that last meal that he took, they call it the horse feet or the what? You remember that person who offered to him? Then he knew, and you know why he take it or not? Out of compassion and love for that person who make the offering. Later on, when the monk knew about it, they want to actually take action against that person who make the offering. The Buddha said no. Nothing to do with him. Because he has the parami to do that type of merits. To make the offering. He offered it sincerely. But it was a delicacy to him. But somehow the preparation, I think, went wrong. And the Buddha knew. And the Buddha knew he has to take because of that coming. He can avoid. Like Chui said. He need not go through that. But out of love and compassion for this person to have that merit, he took it. And he also took it because the condition is he has already made the decision that he will parinibbana at that age. That's why all the things fall into place. He echoed and flowed with wisdom and understanding. But he's new, this body is not real. That's why he doesn't suffer. But the body is already very, very sick and very ill. Normal people cannot endure, I tell you. Because I went through certain conditions earlier on before. And I knew when I went through that sickness and all those things, normal people cannot endure. But because of my understanding, I can just allow it to be. And you know, the body is, that condition is like that. Normal people cannot endure. They cannot take it. What is it? No. You have to understand. The body is the body. You understand or not? The consciousness that is trapped inside is the normal consciousness. Understand or not? You can call it the mundane mind if you want to. But it's the normal consciousness. Through birth until now, the conditioning, everything. The only difference is enlightened being, they got the wisdom connected to it. And this wisdom makes the mind free. The mind is not deluded. So this form of mind with this wisdom is not affected. But whatever that happened to this body, because the consciousness is trapped inside, it can feel it, understand or not? It still have the aggregate. But these are pure aggregate, non-grasping. You understand? He cannot be deceived by this feeling anymore. He cannot get angry, emotional, and react to it. Cannot. Because he understand. Condition like that, things will be like that. So what did the mind do? Until, understand or not? Until, without reacting, without getting emotional, fearful, unhappy, blaming, or all those no more. But it can still feel it. Well, this is what karma is all about. Well, it is connected to the form. And this mind that has the wisdom will not react. That's why he told Ananda, don't ask me to extend my life and prolong my life. Why? Because this body is like a worn-out blocker now. You know what is a worn-out blocker? He can feel it radio. Like your car is about to break down. You can feel it, isn't it? When you start, the engine no longer like the last time it raced was. Go. Understand how all the movement, all the vibration, like every part is falling off already. You realize that? Similarly, the Buddha knew. Because it's already like a worn-out block. It means every other part is loose already, waiting to break down. That's why he told Ananda, enough. He has given his word to the what they call Mara, or that come and keep on asking him to parinibbana and all that. He already given his word. And he already knew no point. That's why he is willing to make that decision. And when he made that decision, the offering came because of the karmic past and the condition. That's why he accept. And he is willing to go through out of love and compassion for this sincere offerer. But he told the monk, the one that offered the milk rice before he become enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree, which is Sujata, the milk rice, and the one that offered him the last meal before his parinibbana, both have very, very high merits. You understand? That's why, because got such condition, he will allow it to be fulfilled. But it's no more about the self. You understand? That's why karma is not what you think. Karma, there is a lot of thing behind.
He could have accepted it. Thank you very much. And put it aside. And then die.
Chui. It's not like that. Okay. I accept. No. The condition is such. That's why I told you. After 1989. You don't ask me to go and do dana, all those things. I cannot already. Understand or not? But there is no more of this delusion or greed for merits, understand? This form and mind cannot do already. But there was one occasion, many years after that, I told you all before, Shok Hun. He met me at this charity, don't know, lunch or dinner, that Auntie Tan, they do every year, their group and all that. So, somebody bought a table and she also, I think, was there. Then I was invited with my wife, so I was there. Then when I was there, she was so happy because she used to attend my class during the early days and all that. Then she came and invited me, pretty, you free or not? And such and such. I say, so far I'm free, I don't have anything on. I say, anything. He said, I'm inviting some monks over to have house done. So I will appreciate if you can come with your wife and all. So I told her, okay, I'll come. Then very funny, you know, that day, got condition, you know, it was a working day, you know, Tuesday, I remember. Somehow, the memory came back, you know, because I just make a note. I said, okay, I will attend. So normally I make a note. It will create a condition for that thought to come back. So that day, that memory came back because it's meant to be. So I walked over there and I remember when I arrived, all of them were inside. Well, the monk were there. They were making the offering and all things. Then there were a few people outside. Yeah? One of them was Mong Sing, I remember. Yeah? Yun Chan, you know him, isn't it? Yeah? Mong Sing saw me. Yeah? That time I was giving talk at Vipassana Center. So Mong Sing straight away, Brad Teo is here, Brad Teo is here. So everybody get excited. Then even Shok Hun also came out. And you know what they did? Everybody bring things to me to offer. Brad Teo, this one is for you to offer. For you. I said, don't worry, you all go ahead, go ahead. So many of them. Then Shok Hun, she got wisdom. You know what she did or not? She saw everybody come, she also don't want to rush for. Then he saw when I tell them, don't worry, go ahead. Then they went in. After they went in, you know what she did or not? She go and take a tray. She go and pick a few things. Very simple thing. And come to me. Brother Teo, can you make the offering? Oh, I saw that. I knew straight away got condition. She told me, this is the one that I prepare on my food. Simple, I put a bit over. Then he said, there are 7 monks qualify as a Sangha. I said, don't worry. I said, for your sake, I will do it for you. And I took it in there and make the offering because of condition. Understand? Not? You understand? If it's not because of condition, this nature cannot do already. That's why a lot of things is not what you think. The being that has the wisdom and the understanding, they understand things differently. They act differently. They cannot do certain things already. So you must have the understanding to actually approach them. When my this teacher Ajahn Yantra was around, he know I very patient, and I understand him very well. And I will be at the right place to do the right thing for him. And every time people make offering to him, he received the best one. All the things that were offered, the best one. Yeah, he will receive like and all those things. Then he got so many there, And he know he cannot finish. He has to give it out. He every time wait for me to come around. Then he will wave to me. And then I go there. Then he say, Tio, this one for you. This one for you. Oh. Then I get to. Yeah. Then sometimes he need certain thing. I knew, water or what. I can send. Then I go and get it for him. Then sometimes he need me to like put this aside or what. Because sometimes people give him art, offer him things. He this hand receive, that hand give away one. He is like that one. He don't keep one. Except certain thing that he know got value and condition for certain people. Then he will tell the disciple to take it back to the way place and all those things. So a lot of these beings, special beings, their behavior is different. They base it on understanding, wisdom, and they act it based on understanding and wisdom. They don't act according to memory anymore. Preference, choice. This one richer. This one strong supporter. Oh, go and meet, go and support. No. For me, it's the other way around. People whom I don't know, if got condition, I will manifest. I will know what to do. But if you know me very long and you don't have the condition, nothing will happen. So law of karma is a very intricate law, like the last week we went through. Only a Sammasambuddha can have that type of understanding, full comprehension. So it's lucky that Chui asked all these questions, which is very good. It creates condition for this sharing to come about. You got one more. Thanks.
Sorry about this. It's not so much a question, but back to PG's reading. She said about, the 24 causes. I mean, we already know the main cause is karma. And yet, this kind of thing makes the mundane mind start to think, what are the other three? Yeah. Why did they say it? Yeah. If it's not important, they shouldn't even have said it. Yeah. So what was it trying to tell us?
Like I explained just now, it's within the Abhidhamma, understand? No? The 24 Pachaya. You know what is Pachaya? Huh? You know the word what? Avijja Pachaya Sankara. What is Pachaya? Dependent on this, this arises. So dependent on avijja, it condition what? That's why dependent originating, understand not? Paticca samuppada. That's why pachaya. Dependent on this, ignorant, it arises mental activity, sankara. Then dependent on sankara, sankara pachaya vinyanang, mental consciousness. Then vinyanang pachaya namarup, namarupa. So this is the 12 link. So pachaya, there are many, but they call it 24 because karma has its own pachaya, understand? Then there are many other type of pachaya, you can break it down. That's why you have the various type that they describe in the Abhidhamma, which is 24. But don't go and waste your time reading all this theory. When you understand what they mean. Yeah, you have to have the silent mind, the awareness to see all these things. Otherwise, you cannot understand. Then, in life, it's not everything karma. That's why the Buddha said, a lot of them is not due to karma. What are they? All of the physical law of nature, they also have their cause and effect, but no involvement of mental intention. Understand? Then the biological order also, the cells and all those things, it doesn't involve mental intention. That's why you say no killing. You know your body one day kill how many cells or not inside there. Then you think you kill. Because this one is biological order. Understand? Not? There is no mental intention when the cell works. But the cell is based on the DNA and all those things. It is like an organic computer, understand or not? Because the programming of that cell is like white blood corpuscle. It's to fight disease and all those things. So that's why whenever it sends the thing, it will create more. That's why sometimes it over-create too much of this white blood corpuscle. Then you end up in another type of disease. What do they call that? Huh? Leukemia. Huh? Because it keep on producing this, thinking that the body need all this white blood corpuscle to fight all these things. Then also these cells, they behave according to what they are designed for, understand or not? But when there is a mutation, what happens? The cell doesn't behave normally, understand? It's mutated. That's why it behaves differently. That's why it becomes cancerous and all those things. And how did the mutation take place? When you stress the cell, understand or not? You have a lot of stress, fear, worry, anxiety. That vibration is very negative. That's why you put this water sample, cell, our body 80% is water. And most of the cell, the content is liquid, water. You put under microscope. If those water that is kept in the church or temple or good vibration area, good nature's area, the crystals are very beautiful. Understand? All well aligned. But you put it in a noisy place with a lot of sound pollution and all sorts of pollution, filthy water, polluted water. The sample that you put under the microscope is very, very ugly, like mutated. No proper formation, no beauty at all. So all these are the behavior. So when it comes to physical law, biological law, there are a lot of pachaya within them. Like physical law, it can be earthquake, Understand? It can be a nuclear reaction. Then it can be nature's disaster and all those things, flood and all those things. Even what they call tsunami and all those things. Then the physical law have to move first, tectonic plate shift, cause the tsunami. Then when the tsunami come, karma come in, understand? You meant to die, you will go there. You don't meant to die, you go there also you will survive, understand? Even you are there, you will survive. That's how karma come in, understand? Then the biological order is when you are wounded, when you are harmed. Sometimes because of karma, the bullet come. Because you too much killing and all those things. Then you have to suffer through other means. That's why even in meditation, I used to tell people, when you have pain or all those things, you endure. You remember the Buddha asked one of the monks, Angulimala, when people whack him, endure, endure. This is better than going down to hell, isn't it? Where you suffer miserably. So you endure means what? That's why when you have pain and all those things in the meditation, I tell you, you should thank your good karma. Why? You take all this pain in your meditation, no? And you do it properly, you can learn from it, and you can break free. Like last Sunday, Tammy asked a very good question about sloth and torpor. You can apply it to pain too. It's a mental hindrance. Because when you say pain, 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 it's negative emotion, aversion. So what happens is, if you take this pain in the meditation, it's better than you taking it in the accident, isn't it? Correct or not? When you come in the accident and landed in the hospital, I think Chui one not so serious. Yours also very serious. But not as bad as those kena smash out. You only fall and all those things. Yeah. Your karma. But not so bad. That type of suffering, like you say, quite bad because you were in the hospital for quite long. But at least bearable, you know. Not like those fellow kena through cancer. Inject morphine also still miserable, you know, pain and all those things. You know. Then they just have suicidal thought and all those things. But you take it through meditation, endure and break free, it's somehow blessing in this guy, you know. It's still pain, understand? Not? So what? Better than taking it in the road accident and all those things. Or karma come, people whack you, understand? Not? And you kena miserable, smash out, landed in hospital. Worse. Or you at the wrong place at the wrong time. You kena all these things because of karma. Mistaken identity. Then sometimes the killer, assassin, kill the wrong guy. That's why karma is like that. Man to be will be. That guy supposed to come out, didn't come out, and you look so similar. That's why they end up killing you. So a lot of things, if you understand karma, you become different. So this is how, through understanding this topic, I like this topic because you can learn a lot of things. Yeah. Okay, now we return to PG. Huh? Oh, you got one more, okay.
I just ask you whether my thinking is right after you said all that. And that is the 24, I always go back because that's something that bothers me when I think of it. The 24 factors are actually all in Pachaya. Causes. The 24 pachayas are equally important. Equally important in the sense that it can all happen at the same time. Is that how it works?
No. It cannot all happen at the same time. Well, it involves too many things. Most of the time is a few combination only. Yeah. And most of the time is one dominating one. Understand not? Then the rest are the supporting one. Like I explained early on, the physical law take effect first. Tectonic plate move. Understand not? Yeah. But this physical law, the tectonic plate move, involve what? Involve consciousness. Well, when the world consciousness, you know what is our planetary consciousness, our planet Earth, the consciousness, is the summation of all the living beings' consciousness. Understand now. Summation of all the living beings that live on this planet may be human and non-human. But the most influential one is the human consciousness. Where we have a lot of this negativity of consciousness in many parts of the world. Understand now? Where there are this ideology, yeah? The IS and all those things, the killing, the fighting and all those things. And a lot of people who have mental problem. So now they call depression. The youngster a lot. That's why that they Sunway College, I think. One student stole from the what they call the club. That the shooting club. He stole a pistol and he went to the toilet and just blew himself up. You think he's from poor family? Can study in Sunway, you know. He's not from a poor family, you understand? No? And why did he do that? Because of karmic stress. Depression, sorrow, lamentation. Cannot take life, cannot take it. So all these are the condition that is behind, trigger off. Then after that, the tsunami happened, then law of karma take effect, understand? No? Then when the law of karma take effect, the consciousness, the mind, citta niyama, again come in, understand? Because after it happened, a lot of people will have compassion, have generosity, they will donate, they will try to help. And all these are the consciousness that help the planet. And why did all this volcano, eruption, earthquake, all those things happen? Well, our planet is like an organism, you understand? The planet, our earth, the totality of consciousness, which is the summation of all the beings, has one they call planetary consciousness. And this planetary consciousness is alive, you know not? Because it's the summation of all, just like our physical body. Our physical body, the totality of consciousness is each and every of these cells, yeah, together with our consciousness that is trapped inside. It influences the cell, the what they call the state of health of your cells. When you are not happy, when you have stress, when you have negative emotion, when you have fear and all of that, your cells are very unhealthy. They will mutate. That's why you will end up in disease, cancer and all those things. But when you have love, metta, you know how to meditate, you've got more and more moments of sight, your cells are very healthy, understand? And you are very different. Most of the time you are calm, peaceful, still. That's why all the vibration is good. So our planetary consciousness is like this miniature body, understand? So what happens is when we eat the wrong food, then it causes to have certain problems like stomach problem and all those things, diarrhea and all those things. Then sometimes you eat the curry and all those things too much, you develop heatiness, understand? Sore throat, cough and all those things. Then sometimes, what they call migraine, all those nonsense. Then sometimes you have accident, cut your leg. You didn't take care, it become what they call septic. And green, then also they call what fire, infection and all things. Then sometimes like Joyce's case, the doctor check, then do a test, a scan, or what, then they detect something. Understand? So what do? They know this is cancerous, this can spread. Or this one you have to remove before it becomes cancerous, all those things, understand? So they will do an operation, understand, to remove it. So you know what the planet do? The planet, you cannot ask a doctor to go and do operation, no. When the consciousness is so negative, it will create condition for all those with negative consciousness on that have the karma to die, want to die. That's why there are war. And war kill a lot. Nature's disaster also kill a lot. So this is the way the earth operates itself, no. Go for operation. Create the tectonic plate movement, because these are all they call the, they even map it out, the scientists. They know these are the earthquake zone where it's very prone to earthquake. And we stay in Malaysia, we are so lucky, you know, we are off the earthquake zone. Then when this thing happen, you know what happened? It will be like an operation where all these things that they have to throw out, like from the volcanic ash or what, or the tsunami to kill all this. Wow, so fast, 10:30. Right? It will happen. Then when it happens, it will wipe out all this. Then it will clean up. Understand? Then most of these people who are supposed to die on will die. Understand? Then whenever this type of nature's disaster happens, there will be a lot of kind soul. You realize or not? Generosity, compassion, people who go and help. Okay? And these are the people who believe in karma. Understand? Who have the goodness. Can be from any religion. And these are the people who will develop more wholesomeness. That's how the earth keep on improving. Then sometimes through famine, through very adverse climatical changes, they have to kill those that need to kill. Understand? That's why it's a natural process. They call it evolution. Of course, Charles Darwin says survival of the fittest. Understand? Natural selection. You understand? IMF, World Bank, also do the same. You know what they do? When you get into trouble, when your economy get into trouble, what do? The inefficient one, they want you to kill. The IMF come in, take over together with the World Bank, the loan to you, everything got condition on. Increase interest rate. Why they want you to increase interest rate? So that those that are very inefficient will die. Because your cost of fund is high. He said, let them die, bankrupt. Then fire sale. Fire sale all your bank, your good company, all very cheap. The foreigner, they say foreign fund, I come and help. Actually, they buy from you, fire sale. That's why Matthew knew, don't go World Bank, IMF. You go there, you die. After fire sale, sure recover. Correct or not? But the money come in, you got no more problem with it. Then after that, your interest rate so high, every time got problem, reduce it. Cost of fund low, easy to do business. This is what they do. Survival of the fittest, they say. Charles Darwin also say. So the weak one will die. So, like your whatever antibiotic you take, you know what happened? They will kill all. But there are some that survive, understand? And the one that survive mutate until the antibiotic cannot work. Then you have to come out with stronger one, until you kill yourself. They become antibiotic resistant. Then you take too much drug, you kill yourself. That's why antibiotic is not the way. It's changing the human consciousness, changing your understanding. That's why Krishnamurti said, to change the world, the individual must change, nothing else. You have to develop Dhamma and all those things. Okay, we better end. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. PG, you want to wrap up? Too long. Then later, next Tuesday, we don't share anything. You straight away go. Yeah, karma is interesting. That's why I say we don't share Krishnamurti code anymore after this. Otherwise, not enough time. So let us rejoice. Recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we shall share these merits and transfer them to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumatha deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu lokasasana. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu. sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. PG say, karma interesting, interesting ma. So that's why he volunteered to choose this topic. Then I saw many chapters, you know, on karma, not just two, I think five, four chapters. You know. That's why he will lead for quite a while. Then next Tuesday when he come, I think we have a discussion better. We will learn more. But this topic is very interesting. It can develop a lot of understanding. That's why I say you understand karma, you understand all of the Dhamma. It involves a lot of things.